Ray's going to speak now. Ray is in Jewish Voice for Peace, and she's also with Code Pink.
It's not by all my pink. So welcome, everyone. I feel really grateful to be included in this discussion, and I feel like these kind of spaces to talk about our personal journeys in this work are especially important in this issue. It's interesting, I'll tell you more about my full story in a minute, but more recently I've been working on ending the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan through my work with Code Pink for the last 5 or 6 years, and I find that in that work, unless you're working directly with military family members or with veterans, or with refugees coming from the Middle East, there is a somewhat of a lack of personal experience in it. It's more like, well, I'm an American taxpayer, I don't want my dollars going into war, or I'm a pacifist, or I just know it's wrong, or it's intellectual, and let's go out and rally, and let's take action. So I've been working with women for, you know, 6, 7 years, and I don't know that I could tell you all the personal reasons that they're doing, that they're out there in the streets every day trying to end occupation of Iraq. But in this work, there is this really personal element, and I have a bias of the personal experience because I come from a Jewish background, because my father's family is from Israel. But I think in general, it's so heated and intense that there's this strong desire to tell our stories. And I find that the organizing I'm doing now, making space and time to go out to lunch with other organizers, to hear their story of how they came into this work, is just so fruitful and rich. And so I appreciate Detroit JPP for putting together this space, and I hope that there'll be, that this could be a model for something we can bring back to our communities of continuing to form dialogue spaces, because I think as activists often we're so focused on the action and on the campaigns that we don't have enough time really to talk. So thank you. So Sharon said, my name's Ray Abalea, and I grew up in the California Coast Side, and I live today in San Francisco, though I'm kind of a gypsy. I travel on the road for my activism a lot, spend a lot of time speaking truth to power in Congress, in D.C., and going to other places where we have local chapters. I'd like to just call my parents into the room. My mom, her family is, my mom Karen, her family's from Holland, and they were Christians, but the family split in half during World War II between those who supported the Jewish underground and those who supported the Nazis, so there's a whole half of the family that I don't even know. And my mom's immediate parents supported the Jewish underground, and partially because of that, their house was taken over by the Nazis, and my grandmother lived in hiding for many years. And then they got sponsorship and came to the U.S. and were in Kansas City, and my mom grew up in Missouri. My dad's family, my dad was moved to Israel, those who survived the Holocaust. Many of them died, and some of them were able to go to Israel before, when it was Palestine, so before 48. So my dad was born outside of Tel Aviv, and at a very young age, his parents dropped him off at an orphanage and said, we'll see you later, and never came back. My dad was in his late teens, he made his way to New York City, he finished high school, made his way to Kansas City where he had relatives, and that's where he met my mom. They got married really young, moved to California. So just a little bit about my family background, and the reason that I say that is because I feel like there's cycles of violence that perpetuate today, and I think there's that great book by Abner Berg about the Holocaust is over, we must rise from the ashes, but I feel like for me, part of my identity and relationship with Israel is also tied into my family history and relationship around the Holocaust, and feeling like it was a refuge for my family to go during that time. And also I say that because I think in my own immediate family, I've experienced a cycle of abuse and violence that I think in large part was caused by war. I think emerging from war-torn Europe, both of my parents' families were totally dysfunctional and didn't know how to raise kids healthily, and were traumatized by the war. There weren't services or resources available to work through that trauma in a healthy way, and so they took it out on their kids. And then my dad took it out on my mom, and they took it out on me, and I think that's a microcosm of what we see happening globally, this cycle of violence that, in a way, Jewish people emerge as, oftentimes touted as the ultimate victims and have become the abusers in so many ways. And the inability to look at that and see that and break the cycle. And my first form of activism in high school was doing domestic violence prevention. And So it just seems very clear to apply the tactics and tools we use around battered women's shelters to, you know, what is going on in terms of the occupation of Palestine. So that's a little bit about my family background. My parents both raised me to be pretty secular. We didn't go to synagogue until I was in middle school and really gravitated towards Judaism and found a synagogue in the Yellow Pages, started going. I was a Reform synagogue, and I got active with BBYO, this Jewish youth group, and we did a lot of great social justice work, and I learned a lot of wonderful ethics and morals at the synagogue. But it, you know, it did have an emphasis on Israel is the place to go, and it gave me a scholarship to go to Israel on a trip that was pretty much like birthright when I was in high school. It was 5 weeks of climbing Masada, floating in the Dead Sea, and you know, just taking in the majestic. You mentioned, you know, making the desert bloom. You know, was that was the theme of the trip. Here's how the Jews are making Israel bloom, and that trip left me feeling so excited about the homeland where my people come from. The following summer, I went back with another a fellowship based out of the Bay Area, Dillertine Fellowship, that was more based on social justice, and we looked at lots of different populations and groups within Israel, but didn't touch Palestinians at all. And so I grew up with a sense that, oh, there's this Jewish-Arab conflict, and all these myths and all these, you know, terrible misunderstandings. Like I was at a workshop recently at another synagogue in the Bay Area where they had a map on the wall of Israel, and it doesn't show the West Bank or Gaza at all. It's just Israel. And I was like, that's exactly the map that I grew up with. So of course I didn't know that there was Palestinians or Palestine, but because it was just not even part of the conversation, you know, which is insane looking back on it, but it's a level of brainwashing that is so intense on every level that to go through and dismantle it takes a lot of time. And I should say that I'm really new to this work of dismantling it. I'm obviously young and have just very recently gotten involved in this movement around justice in Palestine. One of my great uncles on my dad's side of the family was a well-known musician at Haifa and was living in Palestine before it became Israel. And he, Joseph Abalea is his name, and he was a musician and just wanted to play music with talented musicians. It didn't matter who you were, what your background was. And so when the conversation started around talking about forming the State of Israel, he was very opposed to it from the start. He wanted one Transjordan, one state solution of where everyone could have equal rights and a democracy. And so he took a lot of political actions around that really, you know, to the detriment of his family. And I think he had a hard time growing up because they became really alienated and isolated. And he went to jail several times. He was one of the first conscientious objectors, refused to join the IDF. And so I feel like, in a way, there's a legacy in my family of doing this work. Of course, there's other relatives that are living in quasi-settlements in East Jerusalem, and it's not everyone feels this way, but certainly there's